Y'all remember this?
Check this out.
This is the Rich Eisen Show.
Let me just get this off my chest, too.
Check this out.
Live from the Rich Eisen Show studio in Los Angeles.
And one thing that I'm not here for is let's do it to prove Joe Namath wrong. That is not a rallying cry.
The Rich Eisen Show.
Zach Wilson breaks the plane. The Jets score two.
Today's guests, two-time Super Bowl champion and host of the Greenlight Podcast, Chris Long, Raiders wide receiver Devontae Adams, Seahawks wide receiver DK Metcalf. And now, it's Rich Eisen.
Hour number two of the Rich Eisen Show is on the air. Already hit the Jets and the Chiefs. Already talked about the Bills and the Dolphins and the Patriots and the Cowboys. And we're just beginning to scratch the surface of what we're going to be talking about over the next 2 hours. DK Metcalf and the Seahawks taking on the Giants tonight on Monday Night Football. You can stay tuned in hour number three. My chat with DK Metcalf is coming up. But right now we turn to our usual Monday guest to make heads or tails about everything that we just saw in the National Football League over the weekend. The host of the Greenlight Pod, as well as one of the many terrific voices you hear on Inside the NFL on the CW, our friend Chris Long back here. How are you doing, Christopher?
Rich, what's up, man? How are you?
I'm doing great. Are the Eagles the most confounding or improperly criticized 4-0 team that you've seen in a while? Chris, what do you got for me?
I don't know. I'm so biased because I have my, you know, like I'm really honed in on this team. So I kind of have an understanding of who I think they are. And I think some people probably hold them to a standard that's a little bit unrealistic early in the season with two new coordinators. But you know, Sam Howell and Washington come out of a game where the Bills, I mean, that Bills flu is going around, as you know. I wouldn't judge teams too much off of how they look against the Bills. But the Eagles, you know, while they didn't put up gaudy sack numbers, I thought the D-line at different points in the game, which remains the identity of this team, the guys up front, imposed their will, gave great effort in big situations, whether it's Josh Sweat, a sack in the red zone, keeping, you know, 7 points off the board, or, you know, Jalen Carter's effort, man, it's contagious the way he's just scratching and clawing on 3rd and 18, on 4th and 2, Fletcher Cox, Hassan Reddick. And then up front, like the being able to run the football, having that high floor, the shots that you can take in the vertical passing game, which were big for them yesterday. I thought they needed a gut check. They got it, and it's a division game and a team that beat them last year. I mean, you have to remember that. I think Howell might be an upgrade over Heineke. You know, like sometimes he looks like Brett Favre out there in a good way, like a young chicken eating Brett Favre, because you know all he eats is chicken. But like, I thought Eric Bieniemy and him did a great job yesterday. I would have gone for two, tried to win in regulation. But the bottom line is they've been beat by this team in the last calendar year in primetime. And so it's never going to be easy. And they pulled that thing out.
So then what is it then? Because A.J. Brown got his, and DeAndre Swift is getting his, and the offensive line is as good as it appears as ever. Is it Hurts just not looking comfortable or playing consistently? Like, so what is off to you about the Eagles despite winning every game that they've had?
Well, I think I'm on the set Inside the NFL with, you know, we've talked about this on this show. Like, I get to be around some really smart players that played different positions than me, and talking to Ocho and Jay Cutler and those guys, like, you know, the first month of the season in the passing game, especially. Well, I don't think, you know, the Bengals are going to turn around in a week and be better. I do think there's a lot of teams that are working through it. And, you know, the passing game is one thing that's, you know, infinitely complicated. And there's a lot of different variables. And when you replace a coordinator in Shane Spikeman, as Gronk calls him, I think he's as good a head coaching hire as we had this year. And you lose that guy, it's not insignificant. I don't care how well, you know, Jalen Hurts gets along with the coordinator. It's kind of like his buddy, his position coach. But it takes time. And so I'm not panicking about that, because the personnel's there. You know, I still think the top end throws, Jalen's got those. The offensive line is dominant. And you've got a number one and another number one. and Devontae Smith, who made two of the biggest catches in the game, you know, after that, kind of inexplicable, but I get what they're doing. You know, that that shot they took to A.J. Brown where he kind of stopped on the route, there was a miscommunication. It was interesting. They check because the Commanders come down and show blitz, and then he's trying to get the check to A.J. Commanders stay in it. Jack Del Rio's just trying to heat him up. They get the grounding play. They needed a big reception to ensure that Jake would be in field goal range. Smitty again. So I think, if anything, I'd love to see the tight end get used a little bit more. And I love to see them getting on the same page. But when you have a front like that and a defensive front like that, I worry more about the defensive secondary than I do, you know, the passing game offensively. And you saw that early in the game. Washington comes out, they're throwing the ball. Like, they're taking their chances with this rush. And Sam's hanging back there. Time to throw is 3 seconds. So, you know, a lot of pressures, but they were confident enough to take chances. And I think that speaks to, you know, the state of the Eagles secondary right now. Job's playing a lot of snaps out there and getting picked on a little bit. I would look to shore that up. I think the offensive stuff's going to work itself out.
Chris Long right here on the Rich Eisen Show in his usual Monday spot. Who's the MVP of the San Francisco 49ers? You can only choose one, Chris. It's Sports Talk Radio. What do you got for me?
Damn, that's good. That's good, Rich.
Thank you, Chris.
Oh, man. It could be Fred Warner.
Okay.
You know, if you want me to say somebody outside the box, I always think the quarterback's the most valuable player. And I think Brock Purdy falling into their laps, I mean, like, you can't get much more value than that, especially, like, accidentally, to count on this kid to play a bunch of snaps. But, you know, you look at, like, what the Bills did yesterday. I think in today's NFL, you look at the future of the NFL, like Miami, all this motion, all this chaos in the middle of the field, people having trouble passing routes, you know, linebackers in peril against a team like the Dolphins. Those are the kind of teams you have to beat. And to have a Fred Warner who can run the seam with anybody, who's athletic, who's got good coverage instincts. I mean, you could argue Nick Bosa, but I think Fred Warner is like that cheat code. Other teams have elite rushers. Not many teams have a Matt Milano or a Fred Warner. So if I was going to pick a non-quarterback, I might go Fred Warner.
Over McCaffrey, huh? The guy's,
yeah,
by the 18 touchdowns in his first 18 games with the Niners. How's that treating you? I mean,
it's treating the Niners good. It's just they got to be careful with the usage. I mean, early in the season, I mean, yeah, I think he got 20-something touches yesterday with his history. McCaffrey, obviously, right up there, but it speaks to how great this team is when you can't pick out who the most valuable player is. I mean, if I were to even reframe it outside the quarterback, we'd have a lot of trouble.
I've got my friend Chris Long here on the Rich Eisen Show. The Steelers, did you hear Mike Tomlin after the game in Houston, Chris Long? Did you hear about that one?
What did he say exactly? I'm I feel for him because usually the floor is so high with this team.
Well, here he is after the game when talking about, because again, Pickett, it does appear like he's going to miss some time.
Yeah.
It's Trubisky there now, but you also know it's as we've been saying here, it's kind of like South Park, Blame Canada, you know, is what's happening right now in Pittsburgh. And so Tomlin was asked afterwards if there is some changes coming after getting smoked by the Texans.
Hell yeah, we got to make some changes, man. That was an ugly product we put out there today. And so we're not going to do the same things and hope for a different outcome. What those changes are, man, we'll put together a plan in preparation this week.
Obviously, yeah. Steelers fans are wondering if that means a change. What's your interpretation? What do you think?
I would hope it means a change eventually, but he also leaves himself a lot of latitude. Like, we're going to change scheme. We're going to change, you know, people up front. We're going to give people less targets. I think he gives himself an out, but I mean, I hate sounding like I'm calling for people to get fired.
Of course.
Cause it's a business and it's harsh and the whole thing. And he's not trying to fall short, but the scheme it's tough. I mean, like, they're not dynamic, right? You know, not dynamic at quarterback, although I've liked Kenny Pickett and he's kind of regressed. If Mitch is in there, they're not dynamic. But what they have to be is they have to be sound. And the passing concepts for that team are unsound. I mean, like, you play teams that are running zone, you know, their spacing is terrible. They got two guys out in the routes with a bunch of dudes back there in coverage. You know, we talked about it early in the season, you know, extended downs, not being able to find voids in zones. It's like, what are they being coached to do in the passing game? And because of that, the run game isn't really a factor either. And I just, how long can we watch this same movie? Now, I do think Trubisky, the drop off is not significant to where you're like, hey, whatever our aspirations were, we can't do it. I think this team has to play really good complementary football, and they're not doing that. And the offense is hanging the defense out to dry.
But in terms of, teams in that division that are most concerning, I mean, if you think about it, going into the season when you saw Cincinnati at Arizona week five, you're like, well, that's a dub for Cincinnati.
Yeah.
And the way Arizona's been balling out, they, you know, the Cardinals have definitely performed much better than anybody gave them with Jonathan Gannon with the pew pew and all that
good
sort of
them.
Stuff.
Good for them. Yeah. Good,
you know,
for John.
Credit,
yeah.
You know, no doubt about it. So now here comes Cincinnati. And did you hear what Ja'Marr Chase had to say this past
week? Yeah, he says he's open. I don't doubt it. And I can't, I here's the thing. I don't see Ja'Marr Chase as like a make a stink guy, especially about his guy, Joe Burrow. I don't think he's necessarily saying that. I don't know if he's frustrated and, you know, he's snapping at a reporter that, you know, maybe asked him some sideways questions in the past. Like, don't worry about me. You know, like, I'm not to blame here. But I think everybody understands that Joe is not healthy. And what's wild to me is that you just pay this guy more than anybody in the league. And, you know, you're getting beat by a team you've kind of owned lately that's been trying to get rid of their quarterback for 2 years. You know, like, and Joe's not healthy. You know, you can see it. They limit themselves with as much gun as they're in, for sure. But teams are just like, we're going to make you earn it. And you can't run the ball well enough. Like, Tennessee was creeping down in some heavy boxes, got that run game under control. I just don't think Joe looks right. And I think, you know, we talked about this early in his career. I hope when I'm talking to my 7-year-old son in 20 years about Joe Burrow, it's not like you should have seen it his first couple of years. I mean, the guy was in the Super Bowl. It's just they mismanaged him. And it feels like an Andrew Luck thing. You know, his name's been brought up in the past with the way they've mismanaged this deal. And you think they're over the hump, but I don't know. Taylor's got to pick it up. I mean, this is as hopeless as I've seen them look. And like, you know, you say, hey, physical game Monday, short week. This is Cincinnati the first 4 weeks of the season. And I said what I said about passing games, getting into rounding into form over a month. This feels different. It does. And the defense losing two safeties, you know, losing really key pieces of that defense. They loaded the box. They couldn't compete with Derrick Henry. I thought the thing they hung their hat on last year, late in the season, was they turned into a physical outfit. And I don't feel like they have that same team or vibe about them. I don't know if it's they miss P. Ryan in certain situations. They miss players that they let walk. But the balance has been thrown off, and Joe's hurt. He can't move.
And to me, that may be the source of Ja'Marr Chase's frustration, Chris, because that's what he's been saying for the last several weeks, is telling Joe, sit. Like, we should sit him until he is 100% ready. And now he looks like a shadow of his former self. And, you know, RG3 came on the show last week or right around then, and he mentioned Andrew Luck too. That's, you and RG3 have now said the same thing about him. And that may be the concern, but unfortunately that horse is officially out of the barn. You know, and
yeah,
you know,
yeah.
And they were turning down contact, it looked like, on Derrick Henry. And I'm the last person to be critical about that, because I wouldn't want to stand in his way either. And then just a weird timeout when he showed up in shotgun formation on the goal line. And you'd think they'd have a defense ready for, or you'd think that the Titans would go with a different formation. They're not going to put him back after the timeout because they'd be ready for the play. Then he threw a wide open touchdown pass anyway. It just was totally
I don't see the adjustments, Rich, to your point. And I also don't see, you know, the staples of this offense, you know, the big throws outside the numbers, the quick game, which they got going early. If you watch the first 10 plays of this game, you're like, oh, they're back. But eventually when you get in these third and longs, because the run game's not great, you have a hard time blocking up Arden Key, Simmons, the whole crew. And Joe, the thing that made him great was that subtle movement in the pocket. It's not like he's the best athlete in the world, but it's that Brady, like, you saw Trevor Lawrence on 4th and 6 yesterday, hit the touchdown to Ridley. Free runner, just a you know, it takes power through your hips and it takes mobility, and they work on this stuff, but it's that subtle movement. You know, it's just that one thing to buy an extra second or two to make the plays downfield. He doesn't have that. It's 3rd and 5. He doesn't feel like he can take off and pick up 6. He was a good enough athlete to do that a year ago.
And it's kind of crazy, Chris Long here on the Rich Eisen Show. Man, I could talk to you for the full hour, but we got a few minutes left with our Greenlight Pod host and our usual Monday guest. Coming off of the Jets taking on the Patriots, that now we're sitting here on this Monday morning saying, ah, the Zach Wilson light is on. That's what we're looking for. And Mac Jones just looked like Zach Wilson against the Cowboys, and you're wondering where the hell are the Patriots going to go from here? It's like a total role reversal. I can't believe it right now. Chris, what do you think?
I mean, you know, a few weeks ago, I'll eat it. I called the Patriots the best 0-2 team in football because I liked what their defense had to offer. I thought Mac looked better at times early in the season. I mean, surprise, surprise, he's got coaches that do this for a living now, calling plays. And, you know, you think the Bama stuff's going to get. But here's the problem. If you play Dallas and you find yourself down a couple scores, you turn the ball over, you're not going to win. Okay. If you play Dallas, you become one-dimensional. You have to go away from the run game. You're not going to win. These are things that the Patriots especially are not immune to. I mean, they're not built to play from behind. So everything they have to do is going to have to be in phase. And to lose Judon yesterday, and I think Wise, Dietrich Wise, after the game, used words like devastating, and we'll be with him all year. So that tells you it's probably not a good deal. It's a bicep thing. I don't know, but it doesn't sound good. And then, you know, Gonzalez goes down. This is the furthest away that I've felt like the Pats have been, even post-Brady. And I'm surprised by it. I really am, because I thought they'd be better this year.
And what'd you make of Zach Wilson's performance on Sunday night?
I'm happy. Chris? I'm happy for him. Like, listen, I don't think I could do what Zach Wilson's doing. And I don't mean, like, you know, throw the ball. I mean, deal with everything he's had to deal with. Now, you could say, I don't feel sorry for him. He's a high pick, that sort of thing. Like, gotcha. I've been there. You know, nobody's going to feel bad for you that all of a sudden your every move is under a microscope. But I do feel like he got a little win yesterday. Now, Jets fans don't want to hear about emotional victories or that sort of thing, or whatever you want to call it. But until that Zach Wilson mistake, and the script is going to script, you know, I thought he was very good. I thought at times he was very good. And when you look back at a couple of their other games, now, while he still makes these Zach Wilson plays, I had problems with some of the offensive concepts. And, you know, some guys just weren't open. And, you know, like, I thought the offensive line played better. It would have been so great to get to 500 and say, hey, we just beat the world champs. And, you know, like, our offensive line improved, the pass game improved, the defense looked like the defense, we got punched in the mouth at home, responded. But Saleh's got to pull that message out even in a loss, which is the hard thing. I mean, because, hey, one of those penalties doesn't go that way, which I thought it was a penalty. I mean, it's about the turning of the jersey, the torso. I can't complain even after the Eagles call in the Super Bowl, but Saleh's got to pull that out. You know, he's got to get back in the locker room and be like, guys, we are this close. Cause this is the first week. It doesn't feel like BS, right? You know, week one, it felt real, but you were like, I need to see a bigger, but 2 and 3, you're like, Saleh, stop. You don't believe what you're saying. Now you can at least go in and put it in brave face and be like, guys, we are 5 minutes away from beating the world champions. You know, if we can just figure some things out, get into a rhythm, play complimentary football. Maybe we're all right.
Who's on the pod this week? What do you got for me? Who are your guests?
Shoot, we have there's a YouTuber named Ninja, which I don't do twitching and all that video game stuff. Kyle's a big video. Yeah,
He's a diehard Lions fan too.
Yeah, you know him.
No, I do. Oh yeah. Look at me.
Yeah, so Wait a minute.
You went so hold on a second. Chris, we have something called higher register here where you go higher register.
I didn't take you as a YouTube guy. I mean, like I didn't know. We got him, Ryan Fitzpatrick.
I'm worldly, Chris. I'm worldly.
It's not an ageist thing, dude. It's not an ageist thing.
I think that's a me problem. That's an MP.
I count myself. I'm like a boomer, man. I don't know how to use technology. The whole thing. Somebody explained how to use my Apple Wallet at 7-Eleven. Some college kid the other night. Could have robbed me blind. Okay. Got robbed by a little old lady on a motorized cart. Got robbed by a Gen Zer. So you know, like. Rich, okay. I don't know this stuff either, but we got Ryan Fitzpatrick as
fantastic.
Well.
And, okay.
Were you out buying lottery tickets again, Chris?
No, it was the same gas station, which sadly they're shutting down after all these years. The 7-Eleven on Ivy Road. I want to shout that thing out, man. My boys there have been working since I used to go in there in high school.
All right.
I mean, it's $1 billion again. It's fine to admit you're buying
them. Let's go. That's fine. We're all in.
Yeah, we're in. I'm in. Yeah.
Numbers look good to me.
Well, that's Chris Long. Hey, you got Ryan Fitzpatrick. That's great. See?
Yeah,
that doesn't sound so great the way I said it, does it, Chris?
Oh, you know Ryan Fitzpatrick.
Yeah. Oh, wait a minute. You probably sacked him. Okay, very good. Thanks for the Monday treatment as well, as always, Chris.
Of course, dude. All right. Yeah, good to see you.
All right. Green light with Chris Long, podcast host. Hey, he's got Ryan Fitzpatrick. Oh, yeah, you're no ninja, huh? Not bad for an old guy.
You know him?
Did I take that the wrong way? How did you take it? Hey.
I think you did take it.
I thought that he would have for sure knew who Ninja was.
Ninja's as big a Twitch guy as ever.
Yeah, right.
What did you and Ninja do together?
Did that sound, huh?
Didn't you guys do something together?
Yeah, it's called The Rich Eisen Show.
Oh, he was on here. That's right. You know how many great guests we get on this show? I can't keep track of everyone.
He was thinking that you might have did a bit or something.
Yeah, I thought.
Yeah.
Oh, I game with him all the time.
Yeah.
Did that sound good?
What's your handle?
Exactly. Dickie Eyes.
Yeah, that's right. At Dickie Eyes.
Dickie Eyes SI.
All right, we'll take a break. 844-204-RICH, number to dial. Overreaction Monday coming up. Rich Eisen here. If you love football as much as we do here and want to be in the game every day, there's something the guys on my show have been enjoying. Prize Picks Daily Fantasy Sports, the number one daily fantasy sports app. Brockman, tell us about Prize Picks and your strategy this season.
Rich, it's so fun and so easy. You know I love this stuff. You pick two or more players based on their stats and place your entry. It takes less than 60 seconds and just a few taps. You make your picks. Boom, you're part of the action. And they have weekly promotions that can lead to big prizes. I love Prize Picks because it adds to my game time experience. I'm more invested in the outcome and I get real-time updates. Like this weekend, you know, if I'm thinking about a certain Indianapolis quarterback going over his rushing yards, or maybe a Pittsburgh receiver getting more than his allotted catches, there I am, boom. I love it. I love Prize Picks. You should too.
If you're eager to test your knowledge and skills, play the game enjoyed by millions, and join the Prize Picks community of more than 7 million football fans who have already signed up. Visit prizepicks.com/pigskin and use code PIGSKIN. That's code PIGSKIN at prizepicks.com/pigskin. Prize Picks, daily fantasy made easy. Must be present in certain states. Visit prizepicks.com for restrictions and details.
Susie Schuster and Amy Trask present offbeat conversations and expert sports commentary as they ask, what the football?
When my family found out how long it took me to figure out why Charles Woodson named his wine Intercept, they said, there's a reason that you had trouble in school.
You know, not everyone knows, you know, when they think of a bottle of Intercept, they don't know that I play football.
Well, what I've learned is a smooth defensive back can make smooth wine.
That's what it's all about.
What the Football with Susie Schuster and Amy Trask. The podcast is available Tuesdays, wherever you listen.
I got to bring this up since we haven't spoken. The cart, you know the cart. What I'm talking about, the cart. You know.
Oh yeah.
Okay.
My cart.
Yeah. what happened? Did you go up to the cart and ask for a ride to take care of your business, or like what happened? What happened?
I would never ask for a ride to the locker room. But, okay. You know,
what happened?
People never ask for money too, but when you present it to me, I'm not gonna say no to it. So I came off the field.
Yeah.
I had come off the field like three plays before that.
Yes.
And I told my coach, like, hey, I got to take a number two. Like, it's not looking good. And then we got a first down and got close to the red zone. So I was like, you know what? I'll hold it. So yes. We end up scoring, and I come back to the sideline.
Yes.
And the head trainer and the head equipment guy was like, hey, there's a cart down there ready to take you into the locker room to go to the bathroom, because we're playing in Detroit, and it is a hike from the locker room to the field, and plus we're on the other side. So I was like, you know what? You can't miss an opportunity like this. So, you know, up the tunnel I went, and the rest is history. Just know I left my mark in Detroit.
DK, you gave a scare to everybody who loves you and roots for you. I mean, you know, seeing you carted, we're like, wait a minute, what's going on? And then what a relief, you know,
right.
to use another analogy as well. I mean, did you have people after the game saying, what the hell did you do that for? Just walk
everybody after the game. I was like, bro, don't scare us like that. I wasn't worried, so y'all shouldn't be worried. But I watched the video, and I wasn't smiling on the way to the locker room, so that's probably why everybody was a little worried.
Yeah, I mean, we saw the tweet. You're like, that clinch walk wouldn't have made it. That's what that's what you tweeted.
And we were wearing white that game, so it definitely would have shown.
DK Metcalf coming up next hour before Monday Night Football. Check out Monday Night Football once again coming up tonight on Westwood One. And guess what? You can stream the NFL on Westwood One for free, sponsored by AutoZone. All season long, you can listen to every Westwood One broadcast of the NFL live on the NFL app by asking Alexa to open Westwood One Sports or on your Westwood One affiliate station's digital platforms. So Kevin Harlan, Kurt Warner, and me all season long, including tonight, for free. And get in the zone with AutoZone. Free battery testing, free battery charging, and replacement batteries that fit your needs. That's what makes AutoZone America's number one battery destination. Get in the zone. AutoZone. By the way, on the copy, it's two different sentences. It's not a comma. It's a period.
Oh.
I'll let you know.
Get in the zone.
Just get in it.
Same line or a new line?
Same line.
Same line.
Evan in Wisconsin, you're here on the Rich Eisen Show. What's up, Evan?
I'm here.
Oh, I'm here.
Can't confirm. It was very Chris Myers.
We're here.
I'm here. You're there. I'm driving. You're driving. I'm not. How's your hair, Evan? Because I don't have any. What's up?
Yeah, I got a overreaction. But first, did you guys see Vrabel get bodied by the ref during the game on Sunday?
Between the Titans and the Bengals, I must have missed that one. The nine going on at once, so I couldn't see absolutely everything, but yeah.
I'm sure it's up on Twitter or X or whatever it is.
Okay. So what's on your mind, Evan?
The Bears. It is time to tear it down to the studs. Everyone but maybe Poles. Get them out.
But didn't they rip it down to the studs? I mean, how many times? I mean, they ripped it down to the studs. They did it. You know, that's, you know, I don't know what the answer is, Evan, other than the fact that they haven't won a game yet this year and they're a quarter of the way to the Caleb Williams promised land.
Yeah.
You know?
I mean, as soon as the sleeves came off, I knew it was over.
Thanks for the call, Evan. You be well. Thanks for chiming in and hanging in there.
Did you guys see that, what he's talking about, the sleeves?
Go for it.
Sean Payton was wearing a sweatshirt. And at some point, maybe the long sleeves were bothering him. He had a trainer come over and like
cut him off,
cut the sleeves off right above the wrist. And I
is that why? Is that how they came back from 28 7 down? Is that what happened?
Could be a correlation.
By the way, I told you guys that was going to be the game of the day.
It did.
I tried to tell you.
Hey, wait a minute. Who told our viewing audience that Justin Fields was going to be him yesterday?
Oh, that was you on Thursday.
Yeah. We're both right.
We're both right.
Okay. Good for you guys.
Thanks. Give us some, you know.
Cookies?
Cookies? Yeah, we know you don't bring cookies.
Okay, fantastic.
You don't bring cookies or
ice cream.
We'll
have Susie bring cookies tomorrow.
Okay. Instead, yeah, that's for What the Football. The Overreaction podcast later on, but for the moment, the segment version of Overreaction Monday. Hit it,
let's
please.
Go.
That was terrible.
That was crap. That was garbage. This place sucks.
Overreaction
Mondays.
Monday.
All right, Christopher, you have the floor.
I don't know why there needs to be 9 early games. We could have easily had Bills Dolphins in the second window. I'm just saying. Like, what are we doing?
I don't know, man. But you're the king who loves multiple Monday night games.
Flex that.
You know,
I do love that. Because I have 2 TVs in the living room.
I am not a fan of them.
TJ, I know you feel me.
I know.
Okay, look, I think we can safely say the Bills are the best team in the NFL right now. Josh Allen, MVP frontrunner.
Overreaction. The best team in the NFL right now are the San Francisco 49ers.
If they played today, the Bills would take them to the woodshed.
Really? Oh, okay. Oh, all right.
Did you watch the Bills play yesterday?
I did. See them play yesterday. And I also saw the 49ers in the way that they are playing. Now, if you would say that Bills are the best team in the AFC right now, and Josh Allen is the most valuable player in the league, front runner, I would have, you know, pointed you in the direction of a couple of players in San Francisco as an MVP front runner. Their quarterback, who nobody ever wants to mention as an MVP candidate because he was the last pick in the previous year's draft, and he looks like he's a kid who's on the quad going to, you know, a civil engineering course. Look, the Bills are playing terrific football. I didn't take any cheese, as you know, based on the Jets winning that first game of the year. They have gotten better every week. I'm seeing them on Sunday. I cannot wait to call their game against the Jaguars. It's going to be a terrific game in Tottenham for me and Kurt Warner to be in the booth on NFL Network on Sunday. I'm being self-promotional by also calling you an overreactor right here. I still like the 49ers, but the Bills as the best team in the AFC right now, I'm buying that. I'll buy that.
Josh Allen, your MVP frontrunner, a hair under 4-1.
Who's second?
Two is still 5-1.
Okay.
Mahomes is 11-2. Hurts 7-1. Brock Purdy 25-1.
What else, Chris? We'll talk about that later in hour 3.
All right. Just throwing it out there. Here's the deal. I'm so out on the Pats. I'm so out on Mac Jones. The Pats should call Tom Brady right now about coming back for the rest of the season. They're already putting in a statue next year. We've already had Tom Brady Day, right? Just get him back in the building. We know what he's doing. We saw what he was doing yesterday. He's watching Red Zone while Vivi trains horses. Let's go. Put the pads on. Put the helmet back on. Let's go to Foxborough. You know who's saying no to that? Nobody. That would be the greatest thing ever. It was a rough weekend in New England.
I know who's saying no to
that.
Real
rough weekend in New England, right? No to that. We need some good spirits. I thought we were going to have a good show in for Tim Wakefield yesterday, RIP.
Yes.
So sad. Nope. No show. Do they know there was a game yesterday?
Let me tell you.
Call Tom Brady. Let's go. Bob Kraft is on board with this. Jonathan's on board with this.
Sure.
Bill's on board with this.
I don't know about that. You know who's not on board with it? Tom Brady. Oh. Tom Brady. He looks like a happy guy.
He hasn't been called.
He looks like a happy guy.
Do we know? He hasn't been called yet.
TJ, I'm now going to rope you into this.
Okay.
You have had a front row seat to multiple years now. 2018 is when we started doing Overreaction Monday, correct? We
pegged that? Yeah, okay. Yeah.
You've had a front row seat to most every Overreaction Monday. Is this the most overreactive topic he's ever had?
I mean,
is that an overreaction to say this is the most overreactive? I don't know what the proper word is.
I mean,
get out of here.
I don't know if this is
get
number one,
here.
But it's on the list.
Everyone does the one-day contract thing.
Let's
just get him for the rest of the year contract. Are you telling me that Tom Brady can't be better than what Mac Jones just did yesterday?
But why would he? Wouldn't he come back for a Super Bowl win? They're not winning the Super Bowl.
No, he's coming back just to come back. You know he misses
football. Just to help you out?
You know he misses football.
Just to help you have a better Sunday?
You know he misses football.
Just because of you? And you know the rest of the Sullies and Fitzes that miss him?
He's getting slandered today because of the SBF, FTX stuff.
He's not walking through that door.
Let's go.
He's not
what are we doing?
Walking through that door, to use a phrase that you're quite familiar with. The negativity in this segment sucks.
So, Chris, are you saying have him sign a one day?
I'm being positive.
But then put language in the contract and you trick him, meaning like if he signs this one day, he's actually there for the whole season.
He's playing for the whole season.
What else you got? What else you got?
I mean, if he starts on Sunday, we win.
Well,
what else you got?
I don't know about that.
All right.
Against New Orleans?
Oh, Saints.
That's the one team he's definitely not coming out of retirement to face.
Their bounty out against
them. No. Take a look at how he did against them in the years he was winning in Tampa. He ain't seeing that defense.
Saints kind of had his
whatever. Mind. Tom Brady, come back. We need you.
He'll if he wants to come back, he'll come back against Vegas because that'll help sell tickets for his franchise. What else you got?
I'm fine with that too.
What
they
else
might be undefeated, guys, but there's something clearly up with the Eagles on both sides of the football.
I agree with that. That is not an overreaction. That is a
They're the ugliest undefeated team ever.
They are 4-0, and they have question marks all over the lot in their secondary and what's going on offense, occasionally looking unstoppable, whether it's 4th-and-1 or it's 3rd-and-long. Let's keep finding two superb wide receivers. Where the hell is Dallas Goedert? I have no idea, but the run game looks terrific. And then Jalen Hurts, deep ball looks great.
Like, and then other times
it's right. I get it.
Yeah.
Two coordinators gone. And both of them performing, you know, well through 4 weeks in their new gigs. 1-2-2, another 1-1-3. A lot of people thought they'd be 0-4, trying to tank for somebody. So this is a proper statement. Something is clearly up on both sides, but there is still 13 regular season games to fix it. So what else you got over there, Chris?
You think the Rams are going to beat them this weekend?
I'll tell you what, brother, if Cooper Kupp's coming back and he's out there, the one thing, I mean, if you want to discuss this here.
I know, we can save it for the podcast.
Okay, what you got over there?
Because I have a Rams topic for the podcast.
Okay, great. I look forward to that.
All right, TJ, for you, everyone panicking about the Cowboys last week. Yeah, you guys look pretty dumb right about now. Including myself, I was kind of panicking about the Cowboys last week.
I wasn't.
Because he got spanked by the Cardinals.
No, I understand that.
No. You were 12-point favorites and you lost by 12.
Red zone problems can be fixed. And
Broncos got spanked.
No, look, again, Dallas wasn't going undefeated. And it's all about Sunday. Not just because you take it one at a time. I said earlier in this segment, and then earlier in this show, for those who might be just taking in this segment alone, the 49ers are, through 4 weeks, the best team in the National Football League, most complete team, one that can beat you in the air, on the ground, on defense, and on special teams. It just depends on how the game goes and what Kyle Shanahan is dialing up. Let's see what happens when the Cowboys go to San Francisco on Sunday night. Can they control the game? Can they get Brock Purdy, you know, rattled in a way that does not appear to be possible right now? Let's see. But just because they had trouble punching down again, like they always do, and you could take a look at Dallas's schedule right now, even if they do beat San Francisco, when they take on a team like, say, what? Well, the rest of their schedule is pretty tough.
Yeah, right.
I mean,
the Giants again. Carolina,
I jump out at Carolina.
11, yeah.
You know, if Bryce Young can somehow figure it out between now and then, that's week 11.
This is a tough schedule. Holy crap.
Yeah, I mean, you can't find the one even with the Rams at home.
The last 6 weeks are really hard. Seven weeks.
So the Giants at home. Now there's one.
Yeah, but that's a
division game. I get it.
You never know.
So I'm not concerned about it. Let's just see. As I said, it's all about this coming Sunday night for them. Put a calling card out on the table. What else, Chris?
Rich, you said it at the top of the show, and I think there is some light in the Jets tunnel. Zach Wilson showed enough last night to be the Jets' starting quarterback the rest of this season.
Yeah. Yeah, he did. The question is you know, he's going to go to Denver? That's a tough place to play.
Yeah, but they can't pass defense.
I totally get it. But this is, again, it's not just understanding. It's being consistent. The problem is he hadn't shown much of the understanding part until last night. In a spot that we were all expecting the exact opposite to unfold, especially when the first quarter unfolded in the manner in which it did. And then the light comes on. So, yeah, if he can play this consistently, then Scrooge hoping Kirk Cousins becomes available or Tannehill becomes available or anything else. Because certainly, if you really just want to go nuts, and this is an overreaction Monday segment, Aaron Rodgers looked like a guy who is 3 months removed from Achilles surgery, not 3 weeks. So I don't know what the hell to make of it. But if the Jets can stay the course with this kid and play defense like they played, not like they played against New England or Dallas, where they're playing from behind and playing uninspired because the uninspiring play of the quarterback was kind of bumming everyone out. This is not an overreaction. What else, Chris?
Last one, sneaky good college football Saturday. Some really big games. I'm going to say there will be no three-peat. Someone other than Georgia is winning the national championship this year.
Oh, yeah.
Because they do not look good.
I will agree with this. Because, obviously, I, as a Michigan Wolverine, a Michigan man, hoping to wreck a college football buffet, I'm looking around and I'm, unlike the previous years, looking around for somebody that we would have trouble beating on a good day for them. And I'm not seeing it. Now, the Michigan schedule, again, I just know this because I just know this team, and Michigan is two. And man, we were close to being number one if Georgia did get tripped up in Auburn. That there is a three-week stretch where Michigan visits Penn State, visits Maryland, which is going to bag somebody big. They play Ohio State this weekend. Baby Tua, if you will. Okay, Maryland is looking to bag some big game this year, and I think they're going to have somebody in their briefcase by the end of November, and I hope it's not my team, because that's the game before Ohio State comes into the big house. And then you look at the Pac-12, man. There are a ton of really terrific teams here in this time zone.
USC, Oregon, Washington can all put up points. Yep.
Correct.
Texas? Don't forget about Texas, number three right now. So
I would agree with you,
sir. I
think
we get a new champ this year. Just feels it.
All right. That's Overreaction Monday for this edition of the Rich Eisen Show. As soon as this show ends, Chris and I stay after class for Overreaction Monday, the podcast version. Get it where all podcasts can be acquired, wherever maybe you're getting the Rich Eisen Show for all 3 hours every single day. An Overreaction Monday, as I call it, an espresso shot of hot takes all in one podcast package. And then on Tuesday, stay tuned for What the Football with Susie and Amy Trask. What the Football every single Tuesday through the Rich Eisen Podcast Network and Cumulus Podcast Network. Get it where you get all your pods. 844-204-RICH, number to dial. DK Metcalf coming up. So much to discuss as well. Again, teams that are genuinely concerning me. And then there's a bunch of 2-2 teams that maybe we go higher register on by the end of the week, because they are performing better than people thought they would. That's all still to come right here on The Rich Eisen Show.
Millions of listeners and thousands of five-star reviews rave about the hit podcast series In the Red Clay, the unbelievable story of Billy Sunday Burt, the most dangerous man in Georgia history.
He was a whiskey man, bank robber, hit man. He was a murderer. He's also my father.
Seasons 1 and 2 are available to binge right now, and bonus episodes are coming soon. Imperative Entertainment presents In the Red Clay. Get the podcast wherever you listen.
Hey, everybody.
Hi.
Just clapping back at somebody on the X machine.
Where is A-Ron right now?
I was doing that last night. I posted the video just kind of like backing up my point, and then...
What's your point?
It was just that it was a penalty, and then you get all the whataboutism people, and it's just like, all right, I got to mute this conversation.
That's crazy, because you guys get mad when I send you videos and to explain stuff, and yet you did the same thing on Twitter.
What do you mean? What are you talking about?
Well, there was no video, so I had to record it off the TV.
I'm just saying.
Oh, yeah. The video's everywhere now, isn't it? Isn't it? You're talking about the hold, right?
Yeah.
Non-hold.
Well, I think they got it from me. I think I was the first one to put that out there.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah. I was the first one to kind of put it out there.
I'm willing to bet you weren't the first person.
I mean, I don't know. My tweets almost have 4,000 likes, not to sound like Rich.
What do you mean that to sound like me? What are you talking about?
you like to do? You like to point out when stuff of yours goes viral.
Let me say something. No, hold on a second. Hold on a second. Hold on a second. No, hold on a second. Excuse me. Excuse me.
No, I'm just, you do that.
Yeah, because it's about this show's popularity, Chris. Me going viral helps you.
Does it?
Yes, it does.
In what way?
You going viral helps me.
Well, that's great.
Unless you have a terrible take or say something awful. No. Seriously. Well,
not everyone then agrees with your take, so you know what I mean? So if something goes viral, they might think it's awful that you do.
I don't know. I've got 30 years of history backing me up, so.
I don't know what's coming up that soon. Means.
I've been at it for a while.
So Chris. My 19 is nothing?
Oh, it's less than 30.
You know what's coming soon? Food picks from Europe. Get ready.
Oh, jeez.
No.
Oh, wow. We've shamed him into no more food picks.
I just don't think the food's that great where I'm going. Back here on the Rich Eisen Show. I'm sitting at the Rich Eisen Show desk furnished by Grainger with supplies and solutions for every industry. Grainger is the right product for you. Call clickgrainger.com or just stop by. No, you're saying like... You're saying that I always point out how many likes something has? That's not true. Like, point out, when was the last time I was like, oh, this has 10,000 likes?
This morning?
He doesn't say
no,
that.
No, I didn't. Not I'm this just, morning. No.
But it's something that about? You do sometimes. You're like, well, I had a viral tweet.
If people saw it, now I'm talking about it here, which is beneficial to you.
That's literally what I just did. So right. Why am I getting made fun of?
I was just sitting here listening to you tell about, you know, you were the first person to...
Well, I think I was the first one to put the video
out. To put the video of Sauce Gardner getting called for holding.
Yeah.
And then you're like, you know, it's got 4,000 likes, but not to sound like you. And I'm just sitting here just as a host of this show and a friend of yours.
Oh, so you're
taking almost like it, like just getting...
I sideswiped you?
Yeah, you did.
Oh, okay.
Oh, I love this.
I'm sorry.
This is great.
I apologize.
Honestly.
Ooh, I love it.
You know, just because you're not feeling well and you probably didn't get any sleep and your Patriots are in the toilet.
The hell going on?
You know? I don't generally care about that.
Okay.
I'm more excited for the Celtics season.
You should.
Now that football's over.
The postseason of baseball starts.
You did. This tweet did kind of crush it for you.
Let's talk about a 1-3 team I am genuinely concerned about still. I was concerned about them at 0-2 because it felt different. And then their one win against the Rams felt as if it was...
I'm not lucky.
Luck is definitely the residue of design. And some teams, you can get lucky in certain calls. For instance, the fact that the Chiefs threw an interception last night and they were lucky that a hold was called when I'm sure Sauce Gardner makes that move a million times and doesn't get it called, which is how you become an all-pro cornerback in this league. You know? So, that said... Just seeing Burrow play the way that he played on Monday night against the Rams and they got out with a win and the offense is not clicking. The defense got him through the day on that Monday night.
Fortunate, maybe not lucky. Fortunate.
So, yeah, because when you call a team lucky, it does infer something.
Right.
But then they go to Tennessee, which couldn't do a lick against the Cleveland Browns, and the Cleveland Browns defense is tough. Okay. And the Browns, unfortunately for them, did you hear Kevin Stefanski said that Watson was medically cleared to go, but he said he just didn't feel right? And they're like, okay.
And so I missed that. Wow. Well,
it's what he said today. And I'm sure that will clank around in Cleveland, Ohio, because they had a banged up Ravens team in their house coming off of that win. And Watson played as well as he's played as a Brown yet. And it was Dorian Thompson Robinson, and DTR found out, Roquan Smith's a grown-ass man he didn't see in the Pac-12. Okay, so that's the way that one went yesterday. And we're assuming, you know, Watson will come back and look like the Watson against the Titans. And the Titans turned around and looked like the Browns against the Bengals.
Spank-a-lanka.
And they just absolutely laid it on them. Yeah. And the Bengals just look at some of Derrick Henry's runs.
He looked back.
Knife through hot butter. But when he gets ahead of steam going... I just think of, like, you know, when you're bike riding and you sort of hear the wind through your helmet. Like, that's the sort of noise I think of when I watch Derrick Henry get ahead of steam. I think I hear that noise as he's running through, and the Bengals wanted no piece of him. And I know when I say this, like, okay, Rich, you suit up, you stand in the way of this behemoth. And so it is, he is the personification of business decision. And the Bengals acted like they had wanted no part of his business. And then he shows up in shotgun formation on a goal line. We're showing a photograph right now of him throwing one of his many career halfback option touchdown passes. The Bengals called a timeout. I thought, okay, Titans are going to come out in a different formation because the Bengals know it's coming. No, they sent him back there again, and he threw a wide open touchdown pass as if the Bengals were not ready for it.
to the line.
And my fellow Staten Islander, Lou Anarumo, I know the DC is, his defense is usually way better than this. And Burrow, just, he can't move. And the throws don't look as sharp or as crisp because, you know, everybody knows, you talk about arm strength. Arm strength comes from your lower body and your hips and your torque. Ability to move and your ability to get your feet planted where you're most comfortable. Bengals are going to Arizona coming into this season. You're circling that saying that's a dub. Not now. Not now. And they are 1-3. And they are 1-3 in conference. And they are 0-2 in division. And they are in the soup right now. I thought, okay, they beat the Rams. Burrow, even though it's a short week, he's going to come back. He'll be better. He'll be X percent better. And they're going to start turning it around. They'll get to 500. And we'll talk about the Bengals as a division threat. And we may. We may by the halfway point. But at Arizona, home for Seattle, thank goodness they get a bye. But then they're at San Francisco and home for Buffalo afterwards. And even this one, home for Houston. C.J. Stroud coming back to Ohio, looking like the offensive rookie of the year as he does through 4 weeks. Man, this is trouble. I am genuinely concerned for you, Houdet fans out there. So, that game against the Titans. And the Titans, boy, did they need it. They're right there in the division. They are, you know, going to be at Indianapolis next week before I see them in London in 2 weeks against the Ravens. Talk about a slobber knocker of a game. That's going to be Ravens versus Titans. I mean, that's going to be, we're going to teach the Brits about swapping paint.
13-10. All four AFC South teams, 2-2.
How about you? How about you?
Sneaky, tough division.
And that's a big game I'm calling this weekend in London. Jacksonville and the Bills.
Ooh.
Hell yeah. Hell yeah. Because the Dolphins are going home to lick their wounds this coming weekend against the Giants. Oh my God. A short week game for the Giants in Miami against a defense that's feeling probably as salty as Tua does on a bad day. And, you know, the Giants are going to have to try and stop this speed, and Dallas carved them up, and they're not as fast as Miami. Oh, boy. So the Bills are going to need to win that one. And Jacksonville has the benefit of sitting there in London all week. So I can't wait for that one. And no, I will not be Instagramming out food from London.
Susie texted me after Mike's poignant comment, just with the bullseye.
Oh!
I like Susie even more.
What is happening?
Yeah, so.
I love Susie.
What the hell?
That's why I love Susie.
WTF! Indeed. On a Monday, not a Tuesday.
Every Monday, Rich Eisen and Chris Brockman react to what's happening in the world of football on Overreaction Monday.
Dolphins, Final Four AFC team.
Oh, that is not an overreaction at all. I'm with you.
You're in.
I am in. The other three Final Four teams, if you're asking me to call my shot, this is the Overreaction Monday podcast.
Call your shot.
Entertainment purposes only, unless I'm right.
Yeah.
Chiefs, Dolphins, Bills, Ravens.
Ravens.
Final Four.
Overreaction Monday, the podcast, wherever you listen.